Well, welcome to a very special, very unusual episode of the podcast Business Jazz. Subtitle, How to Be Genuinely Attractive in Business Today. And with me, in a restaurant in Chicago, in the United States, is none other than Jane Boyd. Jane, say hello.
Hello, Business Jazz listeners. This is pretty darn amazing. I've never actually been in a podcast with you for Business Jazz before, only ever Roger Overall. This is, like, pretty cool.
Well, it may never happen again. You know, this may be a complete disaster, right? With us, we have another person, a very special guest today. And introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Eric Strauss. I've also never been in a Business Jazz podcast, but it's good to be here with Paul and Jane at a restaurant in Chicago, talking into a phone.
Well, we intend to keep you amused and interested around the theme of how to be genuinely attractive in business today. We're in a business. We're in a restaurant here. Does anybody know who runs this restaurant by any chance?
What restaurant are we in? Let's start with that. Eric, do you know what restaurant we're in?
Bijan's.
Bijan's Bistro.
I'm going to call it World Food because, frankly, it is neither an Indian restaurant nor a Chinese restaurant nor a, I don't know, whatever it is. But look, let's just kick the ball off and say, look, in relation to business today, let me ask you, Jane, what is your definition of business, you know? If I use the word business to you, right? What are the associations that come into your mind, first off?
Wow, just don't start with an easy question, Paul. My gosh. Business. Business to me is all about relationships and building connections and conversations and true relationships with people. It's very human, and it's not really about, I mean, yes, it's about the exchange of dollars or in, you know, Canadian or US or euros or whatever, but the reality is it's about an exchange of value.
So tell me, could you be doing something then with somebody that didn't involve any form of money whatsoever? Would you ever call that a business?
You're really not laying up on me. It's, you know, I'm pretty tired. Wow. Yes, you could. I mean, to me, there's lots of things in my business, and because my number one kind of core guiding value in my business is around generosity, it's all about an exchange that has a value. You know, what goes around comes around in life, and so I really like to think about who it is that I can contribute to and how I can help them achieve whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. And I don't ever expect anything in exchange for that. I don't.
Right.
But it's a part of, I guess, my personal branding and my business branding for 45 Conversations. And it works. Here we all are. You know, we've been here in Chicago. Paul, you've come for Liz Strauss's event, Genius Shared. And we've had an amazing, you know, kind of 4 days together. And while we were all sharing and learning, both Eric and Paul and I, we were all at the event, as were some of the other folks at this table. And
I think we leave them out of it. This is just between three of us.
No,
it's very private now.
Absolutely.
This is
But it's just that it's that exchange that happens.
Yeah.
It's brilliantly beautiful, and it can grow business.
Eric, when you were young, did anyone ever say to you, mind your own business?
Probably. I was a really nosy brat as a child, so I'm sure I got that.
I asked you because when Jane was talking there, I was thinking to myself, well, actually, I'm not, in relation to, you know, what is my business? Well, I was certainly told to mind my own from a very early stage by somebody. I can't even remember who, you know. And you're a lot younger than Jane and I, so, and you do have a business, don't you? You're about to go off and, you know, do something with your life, and I would call that doing your business.
I would call that doing my business as well, I guess.
So where are you actually going? We might as well provide some context for people who are listening to this, you know. Where are you going to do your business next?
So at this moment, I'm in Chicago. In 1 week, I will be landing in Kuala Lumpur to join a small company out there, a publishing company, as a project manager. So that's going to be my business from July 7th going forward, I guess.
And this is a small company. And tell me, how do you expect this company to make itself attractive to you?
It's already made itself attractive to me. I guess that's why I and many other people have applied, and it's no small application process. You have to make a video cover letter just to apply, and they get a whole swath of applicants, as you can tell, just by going on YouTube and looking at all the cover letters out there. But the things that make it attractive to me go beyond what you might expect out of looking at a company, looking at the salary and the benefits and this whole package that, having worked in corporate America, I'm used to, you know, kind of measuring a company by. But this company stood out to me. I wasn't even planning a job search. I came across this company, saw they were looking for a project manager, said, I can do that, and then read a little bit more about this company, whose one of its many mottos is, we don't like the word J-O-B, and just started looking through all that they're about. And it's the people, it's the culture, it's the environment, it's the learning curve. It's not just the salary and the 401k and whatnot. And it's all these intrinsic benefits that once you learn about with this company. This company, by the way, was rated the most democratic workplace several years in a row.
Can you name them, or is it, you know, inadvisable for you as a new employee to be naming the company? Can you say who they are?
It's Mind Valley. They're based in Kuala Lumpur. And everybody that works there moves to Kuala Lumpur, at least at this moment. And so you have this company with the 100, 150 people there from over 30 different countries, and they all have amazing stories of their own. They've all pitched their video of their own, and in this video they're told to do a small handful of things to communicate in the video cover letter to apply. One is, why do you want to join Mind Valley? The second is, why do you love the internet? And the third is, what makes you so awesome? And the answer to that third question, and looking at all the video cover letters as I'm applying, was part of the draw factor for me. I'm seeing these cover letters of people that have applied. It says they were hired. They're already there. Some of them are still there. Some of them have since moved on. And you kind of see the caliber of people there and the people that you surround yourself with. And so there's this saying that you're the product of the five people you spend the most time with.
And say that again. You're the product of the five people that you spend most time with?
Yes.
Right.
Wow. So when I worked in Salt Lake City, I worked in an investment bank out there, and in New York as well for many years. And so I would spend 10 hours a day surrounded by the people at my desk in my team. And so when I started having thoughts about leaving corporate America and traveling more and doing different things, doing things on my own, doing things more to the beat of my own drum, I got a lot of unconscious resistance to that, part of it from the people around me that were saying, oh, I wish I could do that, but I can't, when really maybe they could and they never imagined it. Part of it was they just didn't want to leave. And part of it was in my own mind, I'm thinking, if I leave, I'm leaving everything behind. I'm separating myself from this beehive of people that I've been so used to being a part of that I won't even have much of an identity. That's one of the scariest things about leaving. And so once I left and went on my own and did my own thing for a little while, I realized all the more that you are really the product of the people you're around.
Well, if you really are the product of the people you are around, Jane, what kind of people in your life have really influenced you, would you say? You've hung around with them. They've actually made a real difference to you. Right? If we take Eric's point here about you're the product of the people you are around, is there anybody that I know that you've had has actually made a difference to the way you behave, the way you think, the way you imagine your own future?
Well, I mean, I think something Eric said that really stands out to me is, you know, when he left corporate America, really beating to your own drum, being the person that you are. And it's interesting, in a lot of the consulting work that I do, I have clients from small organizations to, you know, global multinational companies. And I come across a lot of people who, you know, and there's lots of people that are happy in corporate environments, but there's also a number of people that kind of struggle to find their own identity. And so I think, you know, Eric's story is really a valuable story. And so for me, it's really about finding the people that, you know, see me for the person that I am and, you know, help me to grow my business and my goals in a way that is truly authentic and honest to who I am. So, I mean, people, we've just been together at Genius Shared, right? And, of course, Liz Strauss is here with us at the other end of the table. And there's a lot of different people within, I think, that community that have been very influential and very helpful to me in terms of helping me work towards achieving my goals. Marty Constant, who's sitting across from us, you know, she and I did a thing around being accountability buddies. We set some goals a few years back, and we Skyped every week for a year, and, you know, we set our goals and we would talk consistently. It's hard to move towards certain things in your life, and there's resistance. I mean, you talked about resistance, Eric. Like, you need the people that believe in you for who you are and that see you for who you are and that encourage you to be the best person that you can be and truly connected. And Paul, you would be one of my people that does that. And increasingly,
you mean me? You mean I've actually had an influence on you?
Absolutely.
I mean, tell me two things I've changed about you then. Come on, let's be very real about this, yeah? If you're going to say publicly in front of the entire world that I've actually made a difference to your life, I certainly want to know what it is, because other people will be thinking, how the hell could Paul actually have made a difference to Jane, right?
Well, you know, when I met you, my company was a different company when I met you. You know, I've had my own company for forever. Like, I've never worked in, I've always been an entrepreneur my whole life. And I've recently, you know, well, within the last sort of 2 years, gone through a rebranding process for my company. And part of that was, you know, I did a series of conversations through Google Plus on-air hangouts, 45 of them. And we were just talking about this today.
I tell you, dear listeners, that Jane did something ridiculous once. She actually decided that she was coming up to the age of 45. So she decided she was going to hold these conversations with these people. And she had no agenda, no actually series of questions at all. And, you know, she actually managed to pull it off. It took her a while, but she's actually out of that. She's built a company, and she's been mad enough to decide that the best name for the company is what she just did. So she called it 45 Conversations. Now, come on, I didn't have any influence on that. You just did that yourself.
No. After I had the idea, there were three people that I said, how crazy is this? And you were one of the people that I sent a message to saying, I'm thinking about doing this. And you said, you're crazy, but go for it if that's what you really want to do. And then behind the scenes, you were so supportive, sent me so much thoughts and advice, you know, helped me with my branding, all kinds of things that none of that would have ever happened. Like, I, you know, that's because of the connection that we have. So,
you know, I think one of the funny things is when you talk with somebody, you sometimes haven't a bleeding clue what influence you're having on them, right? So, you know, you're telling me things now, and I think, did I really do that? Did I really do that? You know, I mean, you know, I have no idea. It's a kind of magic, really, I think, because you say things to somebody, you don't really know what effect it's going to have on them. You have really very little idea how different what you're saying to them is to what they're hearing from other people. I mean, we know each other to a certain amount, but, you know, Eric, I only know you as the guy who went to China and learned Mandarin, right? And who told me that, you know, in China they put whole chickens on the table and it looks like a chicken and you then eat it, whereas we in the West, we put all the chicken meat into stuff and you wouldn't know you were really eating chicken at all, right? Into chicken nuggets, right? So, I mean, you know, it is possible, I suppose, based on what Jane is saying, that, you know, I might be influencing you in some way. And the thing...
Eric might be influencing us.
Well, I know. Yeah. I mean, do you think it's... Is this really what the world is actually like? Come on, what do you have to say about this topic?
How traumatic would the world be if I were influencing people? I don't know. I, of course, think that there is influence and it is going both ways. And when I said earlier that you're the product of the people you surround yourself with, one of the ways that that was so apparent to me when I was still working in corporate America is that I would take these breaks and go to these conferences like SobCon, like Genius Shared this past weekend, like MisfitCon. I went to Blog World, I remember. And in the couple that I did leading up to me leaving, like in the year before I left, I would I realized that all these thoughts that were going on inside my mind, I could share at the table of people around me. And I walked away from those weekends. It was only 3 days, 2 days, a week at most. I would go back to my 3 or 4 months in, you know, my desk job, surrounded by people. My roommate even worked at the same company as me. I was literally surrounded by people that were all had this, whose ecosystem was this 20,000 person company. They did not think of building a network outside of this company. And when I went back, that influence persisted like an aftertaste. It was through SobCon 2012. I was sitting at a table, I remember, and I wrote down on my iPhone, I am planning to leave. I set a date. I said spring 2012, and I passed it across the table to the person across from me, and that made the difference. It was those conversations that happened and my decision to act on that influence that helped push me into realms of thinking that I hadn't really considered before, and that I think would have taken me a longer time. I probably still would have gotten there, but it would have taken me a longer time to get there if it's just me reading blogs in my spare time and knowing there's other people in my tribe out there that are not necessarily sitting right next to me.
I mean, that's real. What Eric is saying is, like, it's truly, like, that's what it comes down to. You have to know that you've got a group of people that you can connect with, that you can not only say, hey, this is what I'm thinking, what do you think, and get that feedback, but also, you know, some of those thoughts that maybe you typically don't tell to the world, or, you know, to in sort of corporate America, or, you know, in the more traditional places, that you're not going to share that with anybody. But if you've got a safe, trusted group of connections that will challenge you in new and different ways, I mean, it makes all the difference. When Marty Constant and I first met, and it was in...
I have to tell you that Marty Constant is sitting down the table, ignoring us in a chat. There are three women down the end there, and they've been mentioned in this, and it's very, very difficult not to be distracted by little thoughts that they're saying. But go ahead, Jane. I just wanted to put Marty Constant, who lives here in Chicago, and who has the most stupendous brother who plays music. And I heard today her brother playing harmonica and his dog joining in. So I think that he certainly knows how to get dogs attracted to his business.
That was something, actually. That way, and his dog is a service dog, right? Which is quite interesting too. So I don't know.
A service dog is an assistance dog, yeah, right? I have to remember. You know, you're Canadian and American and Irish here, right? Look, let's change the subject for a second. I'd just like to dwell with the cross-cultural things here. What's the difference between Canada and America? I'd like you two to discuss this now, right? Jane, which of you would like to go first, really? I'd like to hear about the differences rather than the similarities, right? Because, of course, if you're trying to be genuinely attractive in business today, you have to be aware of the differences between cultures. So let me go straight to Jane. You've twice in the conversation managed to refer to dollars, and you're coming out of Canada. Is the power of America huge?
I think that the power of everything is huge, you know, in a lot of different ways. But, I mean, yes, I have amazing connections all over the world, but especially here in Chicago and in the United States, and, you know, and...
No, you're off the subject.
The difference is, if you get very sick, we will heal you in Canada for free. We have universal health care. Sorry, Eric, but it's the truth, right? So that's it.
That's one person's view. Eric, your difference? Pick a difference between the two countries?
Well, Jane and I were actually talking about this the other day when we were driving around Chicago, and I think my commentary then was that Canada's Canada and the U.S. are very similar, except things actually work in Canada the way they're supposed to, and I think the healthcare system is a common one people point to. But one other thing I'll add is I heard somewhere that the U.S., one major import from Canada for the U.S. is toilets. Or toilet seats.
Really?
Was Cropper a Canadian? The inventor of the toilet?
I have no idea, but we have 29 seconds left, so
do that.
Right, you're in safe hands. Carry on. Okay, look, we're going to stop then. I'm going to just say that I just love talking to you both. It's a little episode of Business Jazz.
And we love you, Roger, and Mark Cotton.
Oh, yes. And how can anybody contact you, Jane Boyd?
At Boyd Jane on Twitter.
And Eric Strauss?
Eric T. Strauss on Twitter.
Okay, thanks very much for listening to this. Good evening from Chicago. It's Paul O'Mahony, the co-founder of Change Agent.